This is the Transcend in Life podcast with your host, J.M. Ryerson, taking you from fear to freedom.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to Transcend in Life. You guys are in for a real treat today. We have a very special guest. Celebrity cosmetic dentist Dr. Bill Dorfman has been practicing for over 30 years in the Beverly Hills area and has had a career unparalleled to any other dentist in history. He has transformed the smiles of celebrities such as Katy Perry, Usher, Anthony Hopkins, Fergie, Hugh Jackman, Michael Strahan, Jessica Simpson, Mark Wahlberg, and many others. Dr. Bill was the only dentist featured on ABC's hit show Extreme Makeover and is currently a recurring guest co-host on CBS awarded daytime talk show The Doctors. Referred to as the Michael Jordan of dentistry, he has also appeared on numerous TV shows including Larry King Live, Oprah, Access Hollywood, E!, Extra, and Entertainment Tonight. As the founder of Discus Dental, one of the world's leading dental companies, he helped lead the company from its inception to more than $1.3 billion in sales, primarily with its award-winning tooth whitening products such as Zoom and Bright Smile. Dr. Bill has received 20 Lifetime Achievement Awards, 2 Guinness Book of World Records, is a New York Times bestselling author, and recently was the first dentist ever knighted by the Royal Order of Constantine. As a passionate philanthropist, together with country singer Garth Brooks and the Crown Council of Dentists, he has helped raise more than $44 million for children's charities. Dr. Bill is also the founder of the nonprofit LEAP Foundation. LEAP is a week-long motivational leadership program taught at UCLA every summer to more than 400 students between the ages of 15 and 25. Dr. Bill, that is quite the resume. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, hey, I feel like we're done.
Well, you've been busy, man. I have to say, that is quite the resume. And obviously, you have done a lot of things. But tell me how, I guess, the 5-minute version of how did you do so many things? How did a dentist become not only just, you know, you've brought some life-changing products to the world, but you've also transformed some really famous people. So how did it get to this place?
You know, you mentioned LEAP. I think I'll start with that because this will give you a little bit of my mindset. You know, I grew up very, very humble beginnings. I mean, we had nothing. You know, I mean, the year I applied to college, you know, we had 5 kids in my family. Our net family income was less than $11,000. I mean, we were below poverty level. And, you know, nobody ever gave me anything. You know, I started working when I was 5 years old, pulling weeds and, you know, and then working at the grocery store. And, you know, I never stopped working from 5. I've been working my whole life. And when I got to a point where, you know, I felt I could give back, I guess my mantra in life is learn so you can earn and then return. And when I got to a point in my life where I really could return, I founded the LEAP Foundation. And LEAP is a nonprofit motivational leadership program for high school and college students, where we basically teach these students the skills that they need to be successful in life by bringing in amazing mentors and speakers and businessmen and businesswomen and actors and celebrities. I mean, we've had Mark Wahlberg, Anthony Hopkins, Eva Longoria, Kathy Bates, Paula Abdul, Usher, Michael Strahan, Jason Alexander. I mean, it could go on and on and on. But, you know, the real, I say, core of what I want these kids to walk away with is this. Number one, don't wait for opportunities in life. Make them. If I meet another millennial who tells me that they're waiting for the universe to do something for them, I just want to look them in the eye and say, dude, have you looked outside? The universe is pretty dang busy right now and doesn't care about you. So if you want something to happen, get off your duff and make it happen. And number two, when you do get an opportunity, don't take it. Master it. Look, when ABC put me on Extreme Makeover, it was one of the very first reality shows on TV. I'm not going to lie. I stunk on TV. They should have fired me. I was horrific. It was like, you know, the old phrase, a deer in headlights. I was worse than that. It was painful watching me. I was that bad. But I was smart enough to know I was that bad. So instead of just stinking and waiting to get fired, I did something about it. I took acting classes, hosting classes, teleprompting classes. I learned how to be kind of the best version of me that I could be on TV. Well, why? I'll tell you why. It was the first time ever that dentistry was featured on primetime TV, right? And I got to talk about not only what I did, but dude, I invented Zoom. Not video conferencing, the wrong one. Zoom tooth whitening. And our company exploded. I mean, we went from 2 million to 4 million to 8 million to 16 million, and we kind of plateaued at like 76 million right around 2003 when I got an extreme makeover. We went from 76 million to $101 million in sales in 1 year. The next year, 136, and the next year, 176. Our company exploded. And shame on me if I didn't take that opportunity and optimize it. You know, I'll tell you something. Kids run up to me all day long and say, Dr. Bill, what's the secret of success? It's like they want a pill. It's not a pill. Work your buns off. That's the secret. I don't know a single successful person in this universe who's ultra successful that doesn't work their buns off. I don't. You know, that's the secret. So when you ask me, like, how did I get to do all, I'll tell you something. I'm like that little ever-ready bunny. I just go and go and go and go and go. There is something wrong with me. I am a genetic freak. I really am. I have this undying energy level that, like, I run 20-year-old kids under their train tracks. I don't know what it is. I just go and go and go and go and go. And that's it. And I never, ever skip an opportunity. I really try to maximize everyone I can.
Well, I want to talk about that because so often people don't even recognize their opportunities, I think, is part of it. But what I'm really hearing is you take this blue collar work ethic and you apply it in the white collar world. And it's just, it's kind of magical because you are working so hard. But talk to me about recognizing or creating those opportunities, because you said it, don't wait for the opportunities, make them. Why do you feel most people are missing some of these amazing opportunities that I'm sure other dentists probably had an opportunity to grab like you did, but they didn't? So what is the key to recognizing and taking those opportunities?
I'm going to give you two great examples. All right. First of all, this is all under the umbrella of this. Successful people are willing to do the things that unsuccessful people are not willing to do. All right. So let's go back to dental school. Here I am. I'm 24. I'm graduating dental school. I'm one of the youngest graduates of dental school in the history of the school. Right. I grew up poor. I've never traveled. I never saw the world. The idea of going out and opening up a practice and being tethered to this practice where I really couldn't, like, get out for long periods of time and see the world was not real appealing. So I started doing research, and I heard that there was a clinic in Switzerland that would hire one foreign dentist a year. There were 400 applicants. Why should they hire me? They shouldn't. I had no experience. I didn't speak French. I mean, what could I add to that? Really, not a lot. But what I did is I started having all of my instructors in dental school write me letters of recommendation. You know how you get the best letter? Write it yourself. When you ask to have a letter, say, if it helps you, I'll write the letter. And if you could just personalize it, that'd be great. So I started doing that. When I realized that I still wasn't getting anywhere, I started calling the director of the clinic. Now, back then in 1983, making a long distance phone call was like a big deal. I mean, it wasn't easy to do. You weren't even born yet. It was hard, you know, but I called him up and called him up. And then one day I had something, and I say this at Leap all the time, you will have life defining moments. Sometimes you plan them, sometimes you don't. Sometimes they're spontaneous, sometimes they're not. And I just had this spontaneous life-defining moment. I don't even know where this came from. But I'm on the phone with the director of the clinic, and I'm feeling like he could care less, and like there was no way I'm getting this job. And I said, sir, can I take you to lunch? He's like, lunch? I'm like, yes. He goes, you're in San Francisco. I'm in Lausanne, Switzerland. I said, no problem. I'll fly out. Which was hilarious because I was broke ass poor broke. Like I had no money. He said yes. And I figured out a way to borrow money. And I flew out there and I took him to lunch. Guess how many people did that? One. Guess who got hired?
The one.
And maintenant, je peux parler français. I can speak French. I ski well. I have great friends in Switzerland. It was a life-changing moment for me. And why did it happen? Because I was willing to do more than anybody else. So here I practice in Switzerland for 2 years. I have the time of my life. I'm 24. You know, I'm skiing. I actually have a godson there. I became great friends with a young man named Renee, and he and his wife asked me to be the godfather of their son. I mean, it was an awesome experience. I come back to Beverly Hills. I decide I'm going to do cosmetic dentistry. How badly do you think Beverly Hills needed another cosmetic dentist?
Probably not clamoring for it would be my guess. I'm just a guess.
And you are 100% right, young man. So what did I do? I did some research and I found the 5 most successful cosmetic dentists. I called them up. I said, look, I am a nobody with no experience and I would love to come and shadow you. Is that possible? And they all said yes. And I went in and I watched and I spent a week in each of these offices. And I'll tell you something, each one of them more or less said the same thing to me. They said, you're different. I said, what do you mean I'm different? They said, well, you know, we've had students come and shadow us, but not like you. I'm like, well, what do you mean? See, what happens, and I've had hundreds over the years, hundreds of dental students come into my practice and shadow me and watch me do dentistry, but not like this. What I did, I didn't come in to watch them drill teeth. I can watch people drill teeth on video and stuff. I came in and I wanted to see how the front office greeted the patient. I wanted to see how they filled out the intake forms. I wanted to see the dialogue between the patient and the front office. Then how they brought the patient back to the treatment room, how they seated the patient, how they answered their questions, how they made them comfortable, how they explained the treatment, how they explained the finances for the treatment, then how they delivered the treatment. And then at the end, how they then brought the patient up to the front desk again, excused the patient, collected the payment, and made the, I wanted the whole ball of wax. And what I did was I took the best of the best from these 5 practices and made mine better. Within 2 years of me opening up my office in LA, I had the busiest office in all of LA, you know, because I borrowed or copied genius from 5 of the best dentists out there. And I never stopped. I continued to take continuing education classes. 90% of what I do today as a dentist wasn't even invented when I was in dental school. I do porcelain veneers more probably than any dentist living. That wasn't even around when I was in dental school. Implants didn't even exist when I was in dental school. Whitening wasn't even a thought when I was in dental school, you know? And so, you know, we took all of these things, and especially in the whitening world, when I saw what an impact this had on patients, I started a whitening company. And I did it with a guy who became my best friend. You know, it's a funny thing. Every time I truly dedicated myself to some philanthropic cause, something magical came out of it. And I was involved in this charity auction. I met a young man. We were both 29 years old. We became best friends. We're still lifelong best friends. In fact, he's coming over tonight. We're having dinner. And, you know, we started up a company called Discus Dental. His father was Fred Heyman. Fred Heyman basically created Beverly Hills. He created Giorgio Cosmetics. Robert grew up in the cosmetic industry. He understood marketing. He had an MBA from Tufts. And together we formed Discus Dental, and we grew that company from zero with no venture capitalists, with no funds, with nothing, to $1.3 billion in sales.
Well, it's pretty remarkable. I have so many questions to go from that story alone. One of the things that's just, I want to put people in his shoes, sitting in San Francisco, makes a call to Switzerland. Yeah, I'll take you to lunch. There's got to be some fear happening here. And one of the things we talk about in the show is going from fear to freedom. You bet on yourself 100% and said, I'm going to go for it. I don't know Switzerland from Arkansas. I mean, it's you know, to you, it's all the same. You have never been there. What, if you could go back in your mind, what got you to just say, whatever fears I have, be damned. I'm going for this. This is my opportunity. Because I think so often that's when people get stuck, is they get in their own head. They get this trepidation. I can't do it. Can you kind of shed some light into your mentality of just betting on yourself and going for it?
Okay. First of all, zero fear. Like fear isn't, it wasn't even like that, never even entered the picture. Like fear of what? What would I be fear of? That he'd say, no, we can't have lunch. Like there's no fear. And I'll tell you something else. And please don't think that I'm arrogant when I tell you this. I never fail, ever. Why? If you do something and it doesn't come out the way you want it to, that's not failure. Practice. Then you do it again and again and again and again until you succeed. You only fail when you quit. And I will never quit. And one of the things that I think is a major mindset that people have to shift is this. We've all heard the phrase, practice makes what?
Perfect.
Wrong. Practice makes permanent. If you keep doing it the wrong way, you'll never get perfect. You'll get really good at doing it the wrong way. If you're doing something and you're not getting the results you want, get a mentor. Do research. Learn. Like I said, learn so you can earn. And then when you become successful, shame on you if you don't return.
So that's where the philanthropy, but it sounds like you're doing that before you ever really earn. This is just the fabric of who you are as a human being, is I'm going to give back. And lo and behold, again, maybe it's not the universe, but good things are happening, that you start Discus Dental from doing this charity event. So often people don't give until they've made that pinnacle. They've made that X. That's where I think people really miss the boat, is give, and you will, and don't give in expectation of return, but just give freely and great things happen. Is that kind of the idea that you've experienced in your time?
I'll tell you something. Like, I'm not one of these people that like believes the universe is going to do anything. Like, I don't think there's some little guy up there, you know, pulling strings and making this happen. That I think you have to pull your own strings and make things happen. So, you know, I will tell you this, giving back, maybe I'm just super selfish because it makes me feel really good. You know, they say he who gives receives the greatest gift. There's nothing that makes me happier than making a patient be able to smile for the first time, then helping save a kid's life by, you know, we've raised $44 million for children's cancer research and children's hospitals with Garth Brooks and a whole team of dentists that are amazing with the Crown Council. I mean, those are the things in life that, you know, that really make me feel like, yeah, you know, I make a difference. You know, what I'm doing makes a difference. And that's an important thing to me. It might not be to everybody, but to me, it does. You know, I once had a teacher in high school who said, if you leave this earth without having made it a better place, shame on you. And I really believe that for all of us. And I even tell dentists right when they graduate dental school, I said, look, you may not be able to donate thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to something. Do one case. Do one case a year. Go to a battered women's shelter and help one woman get a new smile so she can get a job. You know, just do one little thing. I mean, if we all do little things, it makes a big thing in the end.
So another thing that you mentioned is 90% of the cosmetic dentistry didn't really exist with you coming out of dental school. So is it just having a growth mindset, just seeking to learn more that continues your growth pattern? Because so often people go to school, got my degree, now what? But it sounds like you're continuously learning and improving and getting better.
Yeah. Well, first of all, dentistry is a field that, you know, where the materials and the techniques, it's always advancing. And to maintain your license, you need to take a certain amount of continuing education credit. So I probably take 10 times more than what's required. You know, I want to be at the top of my game all the time. As long as I'm practicing dentistry, I want my patients to come into my office with the confidence knowing that I know everything out there that's new, revolutionary, that's going to give them the highest quality of care available.
And you'd also mentioned getting a mentor, and it sounds like a big part of your giving back is this LEAP Foundation, where you're really teaching these kids age 15 to 25 plus, it says, life skills and how to really get ahead and really achieve their dreams. Is that your giving back as a mentor? Or do you do, I'm sure, additional work on top of that as well?
Listen, there's a lot of ways to give back. There are people that give money. That's nice. There are people that give time. That's nice. There are people that give time and money. That's even nicer. You know, the LEAP Foundation has been an amazing experience for me. I mean, every day, practically, I hear something great from one of my kids that have gone through the program. You know, and this isn't to become a dentist, by the way. I mean, several have, but, you know, these kids go into business and entertainment and I mean, every field in the world. And it's so rewarding to see these kids walk in. And I always tell my friends, I said, send me your kid and I will send you back a better kid. And I do. And it's pretty awesome. And it's been a phenomenal experience. If you have any listeners with kids 15 to 25 that would like more information, have them go to my website. It's www.leapfoundation.com. Unfortunately, last year we had to do the program virtually. This year we're going to do it virtually again, but I will have probably about 50 kids that will come to UCLA and do it live, depending on the pandemic situation and all that. But that, you know, it will go on, whether it's live and virtual or just virtual, it will go on.
And we'll make sure to link that in the show notes. What a great opportunity, you guys, to learn more about what LEAP Foundation is. And if you do have kids, as I do, I have a 14, 11-year-old. Look, they turned 15. Trust me, they will be looking at coming to see you, Dr. Bill.
Thank you.
I got to ask you, 2 Guinness Book of World Records. Not everybody gets to walk around saying, I've done that. What are they, brother? That's pretty cool.
Well, the first one was really a funny thing. I mean, I'll just make a long story short. I was at a dental meeting and they were talking about LEAP, and out of the blue, some woman that I didn't even know said, stands up. There were 1,000 people in the room and said, I'll donate $100 if Dr. Bill will shave his head. And I'm like, I'm not going to shave my head for $100. Are you kidding? And the guy on stage runs down and puts a microphone in front of my mouth. It says, well, how much will it take? So I just said $100,000. I said, if you guys raise $100,000, I would shave my head. Do you know 100 dentists donated $1,000 to see me be bald? So they raised $100,000 right there. Guys raised their hands and said, I'll give $1,000. I'll give it. So they pulled me up on stage and I'm like, look, I can't do this right now because we're right in the middle of filming our season and I can't just show up bald. Plus, if I'm going to do this, I want to do it on national TV so we can raise even more money. So I don't know if you've ever watched The Doctors, but Travis was the main doctor. He's a tall, handsome guy that they stole from The Bachelor. So I called our executive producer. It's Dr. Phil's son, Jay. And I said, Jay, can we do this on the show? He's like, I love it. Yeah. So we shaved my head on the show. We raised another $21,000. And so we raised $121,000 by shaving my head for charity. So I'm driving home bald and I'm thinking, who does this? Nobody, right? So I called my publicist and I said, do me a favor, call Guinness and see if there's a record for how much money anybody's ever raised by shaving their head. Well, she did. And well, there wasn't. So I am in the Guinness World Book of Records for most money raised by shaving your head for charity.
That is by far the most expensive shaved head of all time. I see you have your hair back, so I'm guessing it didn't stick. You like having hair, but...
I like having hair.
So one of the things you mentioned earlier as well is you have this insatiable energy or this desire to continue. Is it part of just your routine? I know you're a healthy guy. You definitely are very active. Do you have a daily routine that really helps light that fire and keep you motivated and just and driving so hard?
I mean, I think it's super important to exercise a lot. You know, I mean, I spend an hour every day at the gym, and not because I want to like look like a, it's not about the aesthetics. It's about health, flexibility, you know, use it or lose it, man. You know, and I always say my kids hate this, but this is my saying is, you know, you can rest when you're dead, you know. And I graduated dental school in 1983. 80% of my class who graduated with me is no longer practicing dentistry for health reasons. Their back, their neck, their arm, their eyesight, their this, their that, you know. And I feel stronger now than I did when I was in my 20s.
So it's just staying active, being at the gym. I assume you're eating right. And is there anything else? Just, you know, we like to get those life hacks to say, man, Dr. Bill's doing this. He is that guy that's still practicing. I don't know. You graduated 83, so I can kind of do the math.
Yeah, but I'm 62.
I'll be damned, man. You look
I'm the oldest guy photographed shirtless in a fitness article for GQ magazine. They did that came out. Actually, it'll be a year and right after COVID hit. You know, and I still do stuff for men's health and men's fitness and all this stuff. And I'm 62. I always say I'd rather have a six pack than a keg.
Anything else that you want to really mention to the audience that you're just, you want to leave this message with them?
You know, if you're a parent listening and you have kids in that age group, please, you know, check out LEAP. I'd love you to send them to the program. The other thing I always tell the parents is the greatest gift that you could ever give your child is not a car and not a watch. It's not jewelry. It's confidence. If you can instill confidence in your kids, confidence is currency in this world. And that's the greatest thing. And I am so incredibly thankful to my parents and appreciative for that, because from the time I was a little dude, they always encouraged me and made me feel like I could do whatever I wanted to do and supported me. I mean, you know, I can't remember a football game, a swim meet, a baseball game, anything I ever did where my parents weren't sitting in the audience cheering me on. When I went to UCLA, I was a gymnast and they recruited me to be a yell leader so I could like stunt and stuff at the games. My mother used to yell, "Go Bill." I'm like, "Mom, I'm not on the football team. I'm entertaining people. Stop doing that. It's embarrassing."
Well, I love the advice. I appreciate so much your time today. Where can our listeners connect with you?
probably the only person on Instagram with a million followers who actually answers all of my own DMs. So if you want to reach me, just Instagram's the best thing. Just go on there. It's at Dr. Bill Dorfman, DrBilldorfman.
Awesome. Well, you guys, we'll link that in the show notes to you're doing for the world. I can't wait to check out the Leap Foundation. And thank you so much for taking the time today and being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. If this content is delivering value to you, please make sure to subscribe, rate, and review us. That helps us build this community, and that is what we are all about. Building this community as big as we can, helping as many people as we can, and deliver as much value as possible. Be sure to head over to transcendentlifepodcast.com for information on my coaching courses, and make sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Let's Go Win 365. Let's go win and transcend in life.
This is the Transcend in Life podcast with your host, J.M. Ryerson, taking you from fear to freedom.